percolate on a particular mix of odd and inspiring news headlines in Wendy's Coffee House. Newsmakers with a penchant for the unknown, unexplained, and unusual share their experiences with UFOs, ghost encounters, near-death experiences, and more for your own unique blend of Wendy's Coffee House Curious. And now, here's Wendy.
Are you curious? Have you been trying to listen all day and things are just kind of wacky? Yeah, we got hit. Major electrical storm in Kansas City. And 110, I think, is what I read, 110,000 people without homes, without electricity. If you've got it now, great. If not, it's a work in progress. They said this could be one of those things where it's going to be a few days. And last go around, I was part of that. I think we were out for close to 3 or 4 days. The stuff in the refrigerator fortunately did survive most of it, but that's what goes on. And drove around a little bit earlier to see some of the damage. A lot of its limbs, trees down, that kind of stuff, had really strong winds. And there was one that was three cars in the front yard, and the tree fell over, totally smashed one of the cars. Couldn't tell if it was on the second one. So there are a lot of people who are having to get their trees recovered or moved out. So aside from that, the cool thing, last night when the storm was moving in, we were out in the suburbs and up on a hill where you could see the landscape, and it was absolutely phenomenal. The lightning that was, I'm not used to seeing this kind of lightning. It was doing spirals and circles and little patch of sky that had a circle lightning, and that is really unusual for us. Usually, it's straight, horizontal. It's all sorts of not circle. So watching it do the spiral and circle effect, it was a really tremendous event. Okay, so on from that, usually if you have any kind of experience, paranormal, that kind of thing, the storms like this enhance the activity. So I was reading last night. The lights flickered a couple of times. I think the internet maybe, took a hit once, but no major deal. And so I'm in the bedroom. The lamp beside the bed goes off intentionally. And so I turn it back on. My nightlight's still blinking like it normally does. The clock didn't do anything. So I know, okay, something is going on. This is the lamp, but maybe I'm imagining. And then the light goes off again. And I have to turn it back on. So I knew I had company. What I was reading about was EVP stuff, this electronic voice phenomenon. And a group that actually, since 1982, had been studying this. So I'm thinking, okay, I'll bookmark that. I'm listening to a little short documentary that talks about it, reading about this and thinking, well, there's something. This is a clue for me to pay more attention to that. So I'm thinking about that. And I know Rob Garcia does this. He's with the elite paranormal group in Kansas City. And that's one of the things he specializes in. And I've also got somebody else coming back in to talk about this, too. I think it's October. Anyway, so I'm thinking there's a reason. Well, this morning when I start doing more of my homework, I've got a couple of things I'm supposed to be writing, which, of course, takes longer because then I get distracted by things that I'm supposed to be doing other than writing. And so I have, like, this list of things that I need to get done and an attention span of short. So I do that. And then as I'm going to the page that the woman started in 1982, turns out she died a couple years ago, and there was a little a blurb, about, a write-up about her, and then a recap of some of the audio that she got. And she happens to say, in the third audio I listened to, where she's getting something, and this is what happens. You don't know when you're doing these recordings if anything's happening. You do the recording, assume something is there, and go back and replay it. And this happened to me when I was in Sedona. I was driving back and forth between the station down there, and I would hear a tap, 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 tap. And I thought, well, one day I'll just go ahead and record this. And I couldn't get anything on the recorder. So right before I'm getting out at the radio station, I say, well, I guess there's nothing. There's nothing here. So, no harm, no foul. When I recorded or re-listened to that, about the same time that I said, there's nothing here, there's this whap that sounded like it was on the window right beside me. It was so loud. If I had heard it, I probably would have driven off the road. But to hear that in the replay was wow, because there's no, it didn't register. So here she's listening to herself, and you can hear the replay of this tape, and she's being told that she's going to get some music. And so, because she had said, would you play something for me? She had this spirit she was talking to, would you play something? And so she's saying, well, and you can hear her, and you can't really make out what she's saying, but you can hear the music loud and clear. And what she introduces is and says, well, there's this very intense electrical storm going on right now, and you'll hear thunder and lightning in the background. I thought, of all the things, of all the pages, everything I could pick up from, you know, the internet and focus in on this time, I would go to her page with a little audio that said that was the most intense time. And she's picking up this incredible music. It sounded like it's right there. And she did not hear the music as she was recording it. So this stuff is fascinating. In the meantime, I did do some stuff for Wendy's Coffee House. We have no internet connection here. The station, we're lucky we're on the air. Because this show is live, you're hearing it. It's going to go back to your regularly non-scheduled programming as soon as this show wraps up, okay? So this is your reprieve from the beautiful sounds of, well, we don't know. Whatever manages to make it through. This is what happens when it's all robotic. You know, those they're worried about AI taking over and robots taking over. Well, when there's lightning, guess what? Guess what? Then you have to punt. You get the real thing. Well, so for what it's worth, it's real. Jason DeBoard, we talked with him earlier, and he does dream interpretation. So we're going to talk about the Dream Theater and what it's like. I also found this incredible site, thanks to Rob Garcia, that does dreams where you go on and you can mix photographs, and it gives you this incredible, beautiful photography mixed with AI-type photos, and it just transforms everything into this incredible creation. And I put that a link to that on the blog. Also, some other stuff, the Total Eclipse Party coming up, City Market. You're going to be there in full eclipse mode August 21st. I think Cumulus is going to be there too. So that's going on. Levitating Rocks, if you want to take a road trip. This looks fascinating. They are under orders not to talk until some of this stuff comes out. MUFON is doing an article in November, and the Travel Channel will be there, I think, October. They've already been there. They're going to be there, and they're going to be talking about what's happening at this incredible place in Arkansas. It's the Crystal Mine, and I'm trying to figure out, you go onto their page at the Board Camp Crystal Mine homepage. They'll give you directions. They'll give you information. I went to the YouTube account to see what they had, what they posted, because they can only post so much. They're supposed to be quiet with all the details. And they have video and photographs. And MUFON has already said, yeah, this isn't, they don't have an explanation. So it's one of the 3%, the categories that they have no explanation for. And somebody posted on the YouTube and said, I hope you're sincere and not just making this stuff up to get more visitors at the Crystal Mine. So they're, you know, please don't be bogus. Please be real. We're tired of it. They were worried at the beginning because they're Christian and they were, you know, this like, oh my gosh, something bad is happening. They said they did some research, and I think they said they found something by Billy Graham, and it made them feel a whole lot better about this whole thing, because it's just fascinating. There's nothing more to it than it being an incredible experience to watch something levitating. And there's no explanation for how or why it could be happening. So check out the video on YouTube. Anyway, Wendy's Coffee House, I've got that information so you can go, you know, just take a look at the photo. If you want to go on a road trip, it's hot. Dress accordingly. it's like super hot. Other than that, though, just a few other things. I do have next week, we're going to do a pre-record. And I don't usually do that. Like tonight, I was ready to, well, okay, fine. But since we're live and we can kind of break the format with whatever it is that's playing, we're just kind of wondering. If something plays over, okay, because the station is in this mode right now, during the commercials and the news, you may hear something playing over. Don't have a lot of control over that, okay? This is the autopilot stuff. And so if it's programmed, it runs. And then if it's got that sub-program, well, then that one runs too. So it's like it's a fail-safe, and it's failing safely. So other than that, the show next week, Nancy Talbot does the crop circles, and she has a tremendous following. She's been doing this a long time. And so she had a health scare recently, a stroke, and I wanted to replay her show because she has a ton of fans, a lot of interest, and we did the show on cognitive dissonance, how it's so difficult for people to believe things that are outside their frame of reference, and it's something that it just, you know, they've been told their life, all life the whatever it is, UFOs, ghosts, all this stuff doesn't exist. And then when they experience it, sometimes it's even hard at that point to acknowledge it. So we're going to do that repeat next week, all right, just to give you a heads up on that. And I will do I think we're doing the show tomorrow. We're going to do a little bit of an intro tomorrow and go from there. But in the meantime, we're going to be talking dreams and what might be going on with that right now with all the stuff that's happening. And my guest, Jason or J.M. DeBord, up next on Wendy's Coffee House. Wow, we're back. It's just amazing. I mean, this building, you know, six floors. And when the power was down, everybody's just freaking out, going, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And you've got an engineer who's in charge of all these things, trying to figure out what the heck is happening. Oh, yes, isn't it Studio G? Studio G?
Yeah. No, not Studio G, the X Studio.
Oh, okay. Well, I know Studio G is. The guy gets around. Okay, so what does he do in the studio?
I think it's probably the same Loki just floating back and forth.
Yeah, yeah. He messes with the equipment and the audio.
He must like me because he never messes with me and G.
Okay, well, there's one pot in there that refuses to comply. And there was a sound card that kept going out. And little things like that that they tweak. It's electronics are wonderful with that. This is Cody Lee, my producer. She's in there going, oh, and she has hair left, thank goodness. But this is the kind of trauma in radio you really hate, especially when you're hearing dead air. In radio, dead air, that's not a ghost. That's an issue. And so the people who are the IT people right now are just going, this is not the day. This is not the day. So it's no summer vacation. Fortunately, we've got a guest on the phone who is not affected by any of this. J.M. DeBord, Jason DeBord, my dream guy. Well, yeah, dream guy. Hi, Jason.
I like that. Hi, Wendy.
It just came out.
I've tried dream guy before, and people take it the wrong way.
I know.
I'm like, but I am the dream guy, you know?
Okay, I know. I thought, well, you know, what the heck? Why not? It's already out there. All right. You are, in terms of dream interpretation, you're the Reddit. You're the Reddit guru.
I am Rad Owl at Reddit. I've been doing it for the last, 6 years as a moderator, where I lead a community of around 33,000 people that we have there, and they're all interested in dreams. Of course, anyone can drop by and share a dream, talk about somebody else's dream, get information, post links. You know, I mean, it's a big bulletin board, but it's probably the world's largest in terms of activity and numbers of subscribers. I can't, you know, verify that. I haven't counted everyone. There are some really big Facebook groups out there, but In terms of sheer numbers, we've got a lot of them, and I love it. I get to share what I know about dreams. I get to help to answer questions and interpret them, and I learn a lot about it and then turn it into books.
Well, and you've got a couple of blogs, because I've referred people to those, the dream123net and com.com, and then you've got the Dream Interpretation Dictionary, which people can get on Amazon. And I wanted to get in. We were talking about doing the dream theater, so because that's a little bit kind of gives a setup for what can happen in your dreams.
There are some very interesting places that your dreams can take you, and usually it's kind of like the holodeck simulation in Star Trek. Star Trek fans out there will recognize the holodeck. It was a place where the characters could go and they could program in a simulation, and it was completely believable.
Help them answer
questions and solve problems and do all kinds of things. And I think of dreams as kind of the dream theater, the holodeck in your own mind that helps you to learn and to grow and to sometimes it's just, you know, great for the experience that you have. So yes, it is. It's the dream theater.
Okay, and I'm going to interrupt now. If we do get interrupted by commercials, which are going to randomly float into our dreamscape as we're doing the show, it's because of the funky thing that happened last night that took everybody out in Kansas City. 110,000 was that's the number I heard at one point. We're without power, and they're getting them on. A lot of problems, though. Now there's a lot of tree damage, and the trees have the lines down, so they can't just go fix them. They have to go through and, you know, undo the damage and figure out where the lines are and get rid of the trees. So it's taking longer. And just driving around this afternoon and seeing still how many people were without power, it's a lot of work. So that's also messing with the electronics here at the station. And
Ghost in the Machine, man. Yes. I could hear some overlay there for a second. This is going to be interesting, kind of maybe even a little spooky, right?
Yeah, so, well, you know.
Yeah, very, very interesting time for us to do this episode, Wendy. I tell you, the timing couldn't be better.
Well, the electronics, I was just talking about last night, I had a visitor, and I know because I was reading about EVP phenomenon, and the bedside lamp went out. Now, my electricity, where we were, our house stayed on. But in the room, the nightlight that I have, that's my companion, you know, the little blinky gun, that stays on. And then the clock didn't take a hit either. So I knew that this was intentional. And so then the light went out again, and I turned it back on as I'm checking this out. And then this morning when I go in and I happen to click on the link about the stuff that I was reading last night, and she had an EVP. And during that EVP session, she says, "Well, this happened, and just bear in mind, this is a very strong electrical storm, and you'll hear thunder in the background." And I had just told my husband, this is intense. When these kinds of experiences bring on that paranormal, it basically highlights it. And the dog went to the front door, three or four times during the night, you know, somebody's here. No, they're not. Well, at least they're not the kind that we open the door for. So, uh-huh. You know. So
dogs have senses in a range that we don't have, including into probably into ultraviolet or infrared. And so there could be something that is there that could be perfectly visible to anyone that had that, you know, heightened sensory perception to be able to see it. I think it's the same thing with like auras and stuff. There are some people who swear by it. I've had a few times that I've seen colors and energy fields around people. It's not something I can do all the time, but I know other people who say that this is just a regular part of their lives and that, hey, you know, they may not be able to explain exactly how it works, but you can't tell them it's not real. You know, it's there. It's real. And it's just not explained rationally or scientifically yet, although I think we are on the verge here, Wendy, of being able to explain a lot of paranormal phenomena as things that, I mean, it can be explained rationally. It's just we have to expand our idea of what this universe really is and how energy and frequency and vibration really work.
Well, and not only that, our own abilities. There are some people, I mean, we're talking about it more now than we used to, but some people, they see the mediumship thing is something they've had since childhood. It isn't all of a sudden they've learned how to do it or, you know, read a book. It's something that they just didn't talk about because somebody said, "Don't tell people, they'll think you're crazy."
Yeah, and, you know, if you were around in the 70s and 80s, trying to find a medium, you know, that you had to go down to kind of Madame Chang's down on the boardwalk, you know. And but now people are everywhere, and they who are awakening to this, and they're not necessarily doing it deliberately. They're not, you know, going to the guru or sitting on top of the mountain for years and developing these sort of, you know, heightened sensory abilities. But they're actually spontaneously showing up, and it's across the population. I'm finding this at Reddit because I'm tuned in to, you know, tens of thousands of people around the world that I'm taking in what they're sharing about themselves and their lives, and especially in dreams, of course, which are very revealing of what's truly going on inside of a person. And I'm running across many reports of people awakening to these abilities that they have to sense future events, to sense energies, to empathically feel what's going on in other human beings, of sensing that they have been lied to by the dominant cultural paradigm, that this information has been suppressed and repressed, and that there's a time coming here where we are now kind of spontaneously and in mass becoming aware of things that have been hidden from us. And I think that, the truth will set you free, man. I mean, I'm hoping that this is the vanguard of a big wave of change that's coming, that will happen spontaneously because it comes from within people. And when that experience happens inside of you, it's something that you can't write it off you know, kind of like people trying to explain what's going on there at the Crystal Cave there in Arkansas. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the largest crystal deposit, continuous one crystal deposit in the world. It's funny is that just about a week ago, I listened to a podcast from a guy who's hosting that event, or one of the hosts of that event there, where they're inviting the people to come down into the cave and experience it for themselves. And wow.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just,
yeah.
You know, amazing.
I just posted about it this evening, and somebody said she'd already been there, and it drained her both her cell phone and her camera within half an hour because it was so intense. That part of it, there's what they're saying. I think they're open to the public August 2nd is when they're opening back up, and they're not supposed to talk about some of the stuff that they're going to be releasing in terms of, you know, what the show will be focusing on the Travel Channel. Or MUFON. They want to keep it quiet. And the question was, well, how are they going to be able to keep the silence? But with people who had been there before, there's some of these things they had experienced. And since it's been closed for a few months, and they said they're not making any money off of it, they lost money by keeping it closed. But this is a way to just show people these things are happening, and there is no explanation for it. It's unexplained, and it's also fascinating.
I think that it's, you know, this is a knowledge that we used to have of what crystals can do to channel energy, and that this was, I think it goes into a technology that was used in a civilization that has been basically erased, and that they had a way of using the crystals to interface with their own minds and to kind of pull into that energy of the universe. They call it zero point energy, but to somehow, in some way, you know, the crystal is acting both as a kind of like as a battery. Mm-hmm. It stores each memory and human experience, and also as a channeler for energy. Something Edgar Cayce talked a lot about, and then over the decades, people have picked up where he left off, including people from his foundation at the Association for Research and Enlightenment. There's a guy who's an instructor there who's one of the people associated with that crystal cave and has been studying, you know, the geology of crystals for decades, both as an intuitive and psychic and as a shaman, but also as a scientist and researcher, somebody who's very much an expert in his field.
Okay, I can give you an example, because this is one thing I was curious about, and I was asked to help with a project. And so what I did was I programmed a crystal. And I programmed it with, when I would look at the crystal, I would be praying for this person and helping you, sending good thoughts, that kind of thing. I set the crystal aside about 6 months later, 8 months later, and I picked it back up, and I immediately knew exactly what I had done, the intention that was into the crystal. So whether the crystal told me or whether I remembered it, my sense and my feeling is that I programmed it into the crystal, and then when I picked it back up, it reminded me what I had stored, so it stored information. That, for me, was a new experience. And I'm like, whoa, that was so, and it was very simple. It just had that one little piece of information, the intention for the crystal of what it was used for was a programming tool. So for me, I believe that that's indeed how it works. It stores information, and it probably does it a whole lot more in-depth than what I played with that little experiment.
And I bet you could have seen if you could look at the atomic structure of that crystal, I bet that you could have seen a change in it from before and after you programmed your intention to it. The same way that you can see the structure of water, there's the picture from that famous, he's Japanese, I never say
Masaru
his name correctly.
Emoto.
Thank you for saving me from hacking apart his name. His work is fascinating, and it shows it right there that as you speak love over a glass of pure water, and it forms these beautiful, you know, geometric structures within their mandala-like structures within the water. You can see it right there. And I think it happens in a more permanent form, that the crystal is almost like a liquid water kind of confusing my words, but, you know, that it's a solid water in a way that it absorbs that energy and responds to it and will actually change the structure inside of the crystal. We use crystals for lasers. We used to use them for radios. You know, we have figured out very interesting applications for crystals and the ways that we, in our technology.
Hang on.
Surprise at all. Go ahead.
We're going to take a break for news here in just a minute, so I don't want you to get too far into that, okay?
Okay. Yeah, we were getting into the deep end of the pool there, weren't we?
Yeah. So hang on, because we're going to take a break and come back. I'm talking with my guest, Jason DeBoard. And if you want to follow along, you can get the Dream Interpretation Dictionary, okay, and find out more. But in the meantime, we want to get more into the crystal music and find the crystal music. Maybe it's got music. Crystal storage. That, as soon as the music started, my mind went... So anyway, it's amazing how quickly that can happen. Are you with me, Jason?
Oh, I'm here.
Okay, take a break. We're going to come back. And Wendy's Coffee House, we're going to blog this too. Whatever I can get. Stick around. Yes, the studio is haunted. Wendy's Coffee House. Cody Lee said earlier, she asked me, did you know about the ghost in the studio? Yeah, I said Studio G. No. Studio X. Oh, okay, the ghost travels. No. And this is part of it. The entire station, the building that we're in, was hit. We had that huge electrical storm overnight. And so, yes, we are part of that. And we're lucky we're on the air at the moment because it really fried all the electronics and the station's been running amok all day. Which, fortunately, I'm laughing not because it's funny, but because it's so not fun when you're going through this and you can't do anything about it. And so that's what's happening. All right. So just if you have been trying to listen to the station and all of a sudden you hear something here, it's going to be just a short reprieve. Because they're trying to work with this and get everything back in sync the way it's supposed to be. And hopefully by the time I do traffic in the morning, it'll be running smoothly again. But so, Jason, you're just missing all the fun stuff. You're just kind of going along riding shotgun on this. And that's a good thing because here in the studio, Cody Lee is just trying to figure out, okay, why is that commercial running? I didn't do anything. All of a sudden, it's playing all by itself. And that's what the programming is doing. So if we get interrupted again, I'm just saying this again to remind anybody who just accidentally tuned in. that's what's happening. Okay, we're just enjoying it. So now going back into the crystal stuff and the programming, you were just getting into that. I needed to stop you so we could take a little break here. I didn't want you to get too far gone with that. But programming it and having the sense that your information, like water, is stored there. The other thing too that I was thinking as you were talking is that our bodies are water, and so the words are programmed. This is not new. This is people who work with psychology and all that are experiencing that. You know, you talk a certain way around people, and it impacts them. There's no metaphysics about that. That works. But it's when you see that this works with water, and it works with crystals. Then you get an idea, my gosh, there's a lot more to this that's a physical thing that we are doing that we don't even really know how to access and fully utilize yet. Does that make sense?
And I think we're going to, yes, it does. And it takes me back to some of the teachings of Nassim Haramein, who's a physicist who has come up with some ideas that are, they're really making waves.
Let's use water. Yeah, perfect.
Water, of course. But one of the reasons why our bodies respond to the energy is because of the water that is in 70% of our bodies being water, and that water is responsive to our thoughts. According to Nassim, the entire universe is sort of like a superfluid, and it responds to our consciousness the same as, you know, water responds to movement or a body that's within it. And so it's, you know, only this superfluid that we're in is sort of like an energetic superfluid. And it does. It responds to us. And the entire world, we look out and we see structures and shapes and matter and stuff, but that is 99.99% empty space. Atomically, if you look at the structure of what's there, it's mostly empty space filled with energy. It just has this sort of coating over it. It's like a paint on a house that gives it shape and form that's recognizable to our eyes. But that shape and form is over top of a deeper structure, which is already there. The implicate order that the physicist David Bohm spoke of. So I think we're on the verge of finding out that our entire world is responsive to us in a way that is just profound, because it means that you are connected in with everything and everything is connected with you, which of course, our shamans have been telling us this for years, but I think we're finding it out now that there are explanations for this stuff. And as we are able to put it into this language that everybody can understand, if you can kind of wrap your mind around the physics of it, we find out that it's not really that spooky or paranormal at all. It's just we weren't able to explain it before.
I want to get back into the Dream Theater stuff. And again, if you're listening, my guest is J.M. DeBord or Jason DeBord, and the book is the Dream Interpretation Dictionary, if you want to follow along after the show and check out some stuff. So with the Dream Theater, do you preset and say, I want to dream something, and then expect to dream it? Because there's a lot of liberties. I mean, you can really experiment with this. Do you have people who tell you that that's what they do, or how do we go with this?
Absolutely, you can. But here's the deal, Wendy, is the unconscious mind, the part of you where your dreams are being created, it's the, you know, where the theater is located, or it is located within the theater, maybe is a better way of thinking of it. Mm-hmm. Your unconscious mind has its own agenda, and it wants to, I mean, I think that its first priority is to help you cope with your everyday life, and then it is going to really focus in on your emotional life. It's going to help you to heal. It's going to address the wounds and the splits and the divisions and the breaks within you, and also those divisions and breaks and splits within your life. Once you have done that base work, once you've laid the foundation, then your dreams can become much more responsive to these deeper desires that you will have for, call it, experiences to know things that are new to you, to create change in your life, to evolve and to learn and to grow. Very much, dreams become this theater where you see your life played out before you, and you are able to make decisions about what kind of person you're going to be and where you're going to go in your life and what kind of life that you're going to create for yourself. But you have to lay the groundwork for it, and that's where my book and my teachings and those of other people who teach about dreams, that it's good just to have a good foundation in dream interpretation, to understand what's going on there, to be able to recognize those dreams that are directed at your daily life and are reflecting you back to yourself, that are helping you to learn and grow from your experiences. And then the dreams that go deeper, they go into your spirit, and they look at the big picture of your life, and they give you these holographic-type situations, experiences in the dream world that help you to learn things, that teach you through your reactions. That's a huge thing you can learn from your dreams without necessarily having to interpret them, is just pay attention to how you react to things that are presented to you. In a dream, I've told people that, you know, you are actually kind of the author of the story of the dream, because you create your dreams, and then you immerse yourself in them, forgetting that you have created the dream so that you can have this experience. And the experience, you are learning about yourself through how you react to these scenarios that you create for yourself. So it's fascinating, Wendy. The dream world gives you access to a whole nother life. It's like living a second life sometimes. Well, and it is something you can incubate or program to respond back to you, kind of like the holodeck in Star Trek.
And that part, it's you're your own best friend. And so I guess the next question, people have archetypes, there are symbols, there are messages. What happens when you insert somebody famous in your dream? Like if I dream that this person that you know see every night on the news, or if it's a Hollywood celebrity, whatever, that person makes an appearance in my dream, how do I categorize that? What do I start to do to make it relevant for me?
Well, celebrities and famous people in dreams are a popular topic. It's a popular theme. I get a lot of posts at Reddit where people see their favorite movie stars and sports stars, actors, world leaders who appear in their dreams and play these roles. And I think the first thing you have to understand is that the character in your dream is a sort of like a costume that goes over a subject or an idea. And the symbolism of it is based on primarily on your impressions and associations and perceptions of that person. The, like you could have, you know, a world leader in your dream to symbolize the leadership qualities you have within yourself, or even the lack of them. Like if you perceive a world leader as being inept, and that person is in your dream, then, you know, that can be the symbolism that you're being presented with. I find that when the interactions are positive with these celebrities and famous figures, that it's a lot like what people in Hindu and Eastern traditions report of seeing demigods and saints in their dreams. And people who are very, like, very Catholic and stuff, they'll dream about, you know, like Saint Joseph or somebody like that. And it represents something to them based on what they know about that person just from exposure through, you know, history books and, you know, perhaps scripture or something like that. That celebrity or famous person is actually there to, in a way, bless them by revealing to them something deeper within themselves that is trying to find expression in their lives. You know, that you can be somebody who has heard. You can be somebody who has an opinion that people want to know. You can be an influential person, and maybe not at a global or national scale, but certainly in your families, neighborhoods, and communities, you can be your own little prince, you know, or princess. Like, I don't mean that in any kind of derogatory way, because we, by embracing these roles, these archetypal roles that we see in our dreams, then we can make them more real in ourselves. We can embody that. In a way, it's activating that programmed energy, back to that subject again, that is within us. It's within the psyche. Deep within the psyche are these archetypes. And think of archetypes as roles, whether it is hero or warrior or skeptic or, you know, sacrifice or goat or whatever it is, that these archetypes are within us. And every night we are sort of activating them in our dreams, or we are getting a view into a process that's going on anyways, deeper than the psyche. And the dreams are like a viewing station. You've got your own little camera there mounted on the top wall of the psyche. And every night you go to sleep and you get to see what's going on in there, you know. And the psyche expresses itself in these archetypal terms, the roles and the stories that we play in our lives and have been played throughout history.
I'm going to have to take a break here real quick. It's a short break, fortunately. Hopefully we're not going to get derailed. But hold on to that. What I would like to come back and ask, do people complain about not dreaming or not being able to remember their dreams? Okay, and then what you suggest. So we're going to take a quick break here. Again, my guest, J.M. DeBord, Jason DeBord, and the book, The Dream Interpretation Dictionary, to follow along at home. In the meantime, if you miss any of the show, we do have the ability, this will be rebroadcast, so it's going to be on the podcast upload, and then you can check the blog site, Wendy's Coffee House, to catch up with whatever you might have missed. Next, Wendy's Coffee House. KCMO Talk Radio, Wendy's Coffee House. Hi there, I'm Wendy. My guest, Jason DeBord, dream interpreter and guru, dream guru for Reddit. So, just, there are some people who can't remember their dreams, and that's frustrating, I know, because I've talked to them. It's like, it's not fair. And that part of it, though, is that you can, in some way, shape, or form, allow yourself to be receptive to dreaming. But I wanted to ask, Jason, do you have any specific guidance for people who want to remember and are having a tough time?
Well, I think you just hit on one of the first important things to understand, is that dreams can show you things that make you uncomfortable. And once you understand the symbolism and story form of your dreams, you can see that even sometimes the most violent or difficult or obscene or obnoxious dreams actually have a message and meaning deep down in them. But you have to be willing to be uncomfortable. You know, they tend to want to kind of get into a pattern, and they don't embrace change. You know, and Wendy, as you were talking about the electrical storms that went through there and all the chaos it's causing, in the back of my mind, I'm remembering a quote from Dr. Carl Jung, and I'll have to paraphrase it, but basically he said that change is good. Change causes us to adapt in better ways to our environment. It's just sometimes we have to have things shaken up for us, and if it's something that we're willing to do for ourselves, then our lives tend to, we don't need those big shakeups as much in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those things can be blessings for us when they come along and they really just, you know, stir the pot, they shake everything up, and they make us adapt and react in ways that, and so we find out new things about ourselves, and we dig deeper into ourselves, into our potentials and capabilities, and bring them forth. And if it wasn't for those changes that are thrown at us, sometimes through the wild card of a massive electrical storm, and sometimes just because you decide, hey, I'm going to take a trip to, let's just say, the Nepal, just to pull one off the top of my head, you know, and mm-hmm. I'm going to go sit on top of a mountain and, you know, see what the universe has to say to me. Great. If that's coming from inside of you and it says, you know, let's do this, then you are creating your own change, and maybe your life doesn't have to throw as many curveballs at you to get you out of your comfort zone and make you, you know, grow and learn and adapt.
Well, it's really easy to get caught up in lockstep because you get a routine and then everything is secure, it's safe, it's solid, you know what's going to happen day after day after day after day. And then there's that thing of, well, it's way too comfortable for me to make a change. I've got everything all set up. I know what's going to happen. There's that security thing. And then when you do have a crisis, there is absolutely no getting around it. You have to change. You have to adapt. And I think a lot of this with this consciousness stuff that we're experiencing now with people who are coming forward with new abilities and not, I guess, hiding it or trying to just pretend it doesn't exist. They're becoming much more honest and open and sharing. Look, I am an intuitive. Look, I am a healer. I am a medium. I am an animal communicator. I am, you know, a crystal channeler, whatever. All these kinds of things that are completely off limits in terms of, no, don't talk about that. But more people are saying, well, this is my ability. I've watched with the people I am familiar with who are animal communicators, who've dealt with people who are skeptics and say, no, this doesn't work. And then they watch somebody come in and tell them what's wrong with the horse and why the horse is misbehaving and what's going on with their cattle and what's, you know, and saying, I was a doubter until I've seen this person work. And my, you know, amazing. I have to say, I respect their ability. I don't understand it. And I know that I can't do it, but I respect that they are getting results that I couldn't get any other way. That's changing us as a culture and as a, I guess, you know, humanity in so many ways, because it isn't just happening here in the U.S. It's happening worldwide. These kinds of things are making us reconsider what we think is normal, natural, and what our abilities are. Does that make sense?
Oh, it sure does, because I'm experiencing both sides of this as a public expert about dreams. I get the people who intuitively embrace what their dreams are showing them, telling them, and they run with it. And then you get the people who say dreams are meaningless. There was a Harvard study that came out in the late 1970s that put forth the activation synthesis theory that summarizes dreams, it boils them all down to brain farts. It's just your brain trying to interpret random electrical
yes.
signals that are going on as
that,
you sleep.
Yeah.
You know, and oh, I hear it so many times, Wendy. I get it from a lot of directions. I've been challenged before to prove that dreams have meaning and, you know, cite me the study. And, you know, I'm like, well, it's really easy to do if you really want to find out. You know, start with dreamscience.org, you know. I'll give a shout-out to Bob Hoff there, who's done years, decades of research, you know, into this subject and has accumulated a treasure trove of published material that shows going back for more than five decades that we have proven that dreams are meaningful and that there is a rhyme or reason to it, that dream interpretation can be very beneficial for you. But it goes back again, Wendy, to our original subject there, is you have to want to do it. You know, the desire to work with your dreams, to remember them, that's the key, that's the basis right there. As human beings, we have to have motivation to put forth our effort. And that motivation is usually driven by some kind of reward. We have to see the benefit of it. So once you know that benefit, then you've got the third key component to remembering dreams is the time. Mm-hmm. Make the time to do it, whether it's that first 5 or 10 minutes in the morning, which are critical. You have to take those first few minutes of the day and just think about your dreams. You have a very small window of opportunity. The dream memories will stay in there, but they're in short-term memory, and it's only accessible as long as there aren't other things crowding out your short-term memory. So after a night full of dreaming, which, by the way, everyone dreams, and you're going to dream in 8 hours for about 2 hours of intense, vivid dreaming known as REM stage sleep. So you are dreaming. It's just if you don't remember your dreams, well, you just don't remember. And usually with the desire to do it, seeing the benefit of it, and then giving it the time in the morning to devote to remembering your dreams, having a journal nearby, ready to write down anything that comes to you, then that gets the ball rolling. Even for people who swear that they never have, they're like, I don't dream. I know I don't dream because I don't remember anything when I wake up in the morning. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, you know, that doesn't really prove anything except for you're not remembering your dreams. It doesn't mean you didn't have them to begin with, which, you know, but that is step one. You have to remember your dreams. And just by giving it that energy, the dreaming part of your mind will start feeding things back to you. You know, it is a part of you that is a much larger part of your mind that is outside of your conscious awareness. The conscious part of you is a very small, it's the tip of the iceberg. And once you have a relationship with that side of your mind through remembering and studying your dreams and pondering them and learning from them and acting on them, then that side of you goes, great, you're paying attention now. Now let me start showing you some of these deeper things. The people you know, Wendy, who are, you know, you mentioned healers and channelers and intuitives. How many of them do you think have said it all started with paying attention to my dream life?
Oh, yeah. I mean, for myself, I've been doing this for 30 years. I write my dreams down, and I've no longer than that, but consistently on a regular basis for 30 years. And that what I learned is that there are some things I know the time frame. I know it means 6 months. I know it means about a year. And sometimes it's 24 hours. But I can figure that out. And I know I'm getting a preview of something. And that may not always be crystal clear, but I've got a good time frame for this because I've written them down, because I wanted to know, well, is this going to make sense? And then how do I work versus, you know, how somebody else? So, yeah, once you do these kinds of things, then you learn a whole lot about yourself and about your own specific timing that's just fascinating and extremely helpful, so you don't wig out when weird things happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And you just brought up a really good point, is sometimes your dreams, the meaning and significance of them is not always readily available to you. It takes time for this stuff to unfold. I had a dream theme for a while about being in Alaska, north of the Arctic Circle. This was one of the details that kept popping up. And I would go into these towns, and I would see kind of like vendors on the street, and then I would be welcomed, and they would go, oh, you're the dream expert. We've been waiting for you. Come on over here. And there's like this bookstore with a row of chairs and a fire going, and I walk in, and I'm there to like tell people about their dreams. And there might only 10 or 20 people in the room or something, you know, but I'm happy to be there. I'm like, oh, hey, I get to be the dream expert. What a role to play in life, you know? And I puzzled over this for a while, for weeks. And I finally, one day I was doing something that kept part of my mind distracted, chopping wood or something, you know?
Like, yeah.
I was working in the yard, right? So, and then it suddenly came to me, I said, you know, what are my associations with Alaska, specifically north of the Arctic Circle? And the first thing that went right into my brain is it's sparsely populated. And at the time, my first book, Dreams 1-2-3, had come out, and I was doing everything that I could to just get myself out there. And it often meant that I was going to like community centers where there were just a few people, or, you know, I was going on a blog, you know, like a podcast or something, and they had a small audience. And that's where I made the association. I went, okay, Alaska means sparsely populated, but I'm there as the dream expert. And this is reflecting what's going on in my life, where I'm finding myself in front of small audiences to talk about dreams.
Going into the hinterlands.
You know, the key for me was I was glad to be there.
Yes.
It propelled me. I pulled something very simple out of my dream that gave me the motivation to continue, or it added to my motivation to continue doing that, because I knew I was doing something, A, that I enjoyed, and B, and it was benefiting people. And maybe it's better that I'm not a Robert Moss who gets mobbed when he walks into the room because so many people heard of him as being the big, you know, dream guru. Maybe this role is better for me now where I get to walk in and I'm like, hey, I'm Rad Al from Reddit, you know? And then
yes.
They go, oh, well, hey, welcome. You know, it's all good. But you get to play this role that's important in the big picture and you enjoy it. But yes, the point is that you can pull these little things out of your dreams that they sometimes won't reveal themselves to you. The significance or the meaning won't be revealed right away. But if you track the dreams over time, you can start to look back with what time teaches you and go, oh, okay, now I know what that meant. Or, oh, now I know what that was preparing me for. You know, Edgar Cayce said that dreams are today's answers to tomorrow's questions. And I found that that holds true. And it's just sometimes you have to get to tomorrow to figure out what the question is that your dream answered for you yesterday. They give you these previews of what's coming up in your life.
Gotta get going. Gotta get going. J.M. DeBoard, thank you for being here. And if you're listening, check out the book, The Dream Interpretation Dictionary. Till next time, it's Wendy's Coffee House. Stay curious.
Treasures here, dug our treasures there. Can you stay?